This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And it is not so much of a nice day today. I guess it's kind of cloudy and a little bit. How was it coming in, Mike? Was it cool?
It's overcast. It's chilly. But, you know, there is no mention of snow in the forecast.
Exactly.
So I'm okay with 50 degrees at the end of April. Truly, what we've been through, this is okay.
It is. It definitely
yes.
is. You are listening to 107.7 FM, and you can also stream us live at WTPLFM.com. And we'd also love for you to like us on Facebook. We have our brand new website, foodforthoughtnh.com. And from there, you can also go ahead and like our Facebook page. And so what's up for today, Mike?
Well, we have a lunch with Mayor Ted Gatzis here in just a couple of moments, and our mystery food provider,
yes.
who has arrived with one of those big satchels filled with goodies, and we'll introduce both of them in a couple of moments. And so we won't spend too much time chatting amongst ourselves, but I do have to throw this out for anybody that maybe knows a little bit about cars. Maybe you can give me some guidance. Yesterday, I left the station heading home, and I knew I only had, when I got here, about 20 miles. At 20 miles worth of gas left in the tank, you know, because on range.
Uh-oh.
So instead of taking 93 home, which I normally would, I just said, well, I'll take Mammoth Road. It's a little bit more direct, but a little slower. And then I looked down. I said, oh, I forgot to get gas. It was on zero.
Did you make it?
0 miles left. Well, it was just before it splits where there's a mobile gas station in Londonderry.
Right ahead.
Yes. And I was at the top of the hill, so I thought, okay, if I'm really cool, I can coast all the way down and not really use any gas. And if my car runs out of gas, I can probably make it to the gas station or pretty darn close. So the good news is I got in and I filled up. But here is the mystery, Carol. It only took 13.3 gallons of gas. And my tank holds 15.9. So am I to believe that I had 2.5 gallons plus of gas still in there?
I bet you did.
And they give you zero just to make sure that
you
don't run out of gas?
I think so. Because I've been on zero before. I don't do it often, but
I have never run out of gas in my life. I always make fun of people that have, and I'm thinking, oh boy, karma, it's going to come back. I'm going to run out today. Of course, nobody would have to know, but so it has a happy ending. I'm just surprised that it took so little gas to
yeah.
fill it up, and I'm wondering if anybody knows the answer to that, if you're a mechanic.
That is a good question, because
yeah.
I always wondered that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is scary. I've done it once, driven on zero, not realizing,
yes.
you know, also.
It's scary.
Because I'm usually paranoid. If I get to a quarter,
sure.
I like to fill it and,
right.
you know, just be that's it's there. But, yeah. Yeah. When the light goes on, I freak
mm-hmm.
out.
So, in reality, I probably had still 60 miles to 70 miles
yeah,
worth
you
of
must
gas.
Have.
I don't know. So
you must have.
It had a happy ending.
Well, good. Good, good. And what do we have up in the lineup today? We're going to be talking picnics with Linda Thompson Odom.
Oh, it's picnic time.
Actually, it's Linda Ditch. I'm sorry.
Linda Thompson Ditch.
She used to be Linda Thompson Ditch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going by her old name. My gosh, sorry. And we're going to be talking picnics,
mm-hmm.
which, how ironic. Didn't this happen already this week? Today's National Picnic Day.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? You know what? Knowing her, she probably knows that.
Yes, exactly.
I bet she does. Here I am thinking it's just this coincidence, but
right.
I bet she planned that.
A little later in the show, then, we're going to talk to somebody who's got a business that combines baking with crafted beers.
Yeah, very
it's hard for me to picture that. I mean, I know that there's a lot of similar ingredients.
I tasted it.
And?
Very good.
Is it?
I mean, you do taste the beer somewhat,
mm-hmm.
but not, you know,
okay.
it's not like overpowering.
Is it bitter?
Like
is it
I
sweet?
I actually had a, you know what she has also? She has a smoothie cupcake. So it's green. It's called the Green Monster
Cupcake. I
saw cupcake.
That, yes.
Very good. And then I had the red velvet one that was made with some kind of craft beer. But it was really delicious. Very,
and,
very good.
Yeah, they make a variety of really, like the caramel jalapeno cake
oh,
is
yeah.
one that really
I didn't have that one.
Interests me.
Yeah, sounds
interesting.
So we
will chat with her. And then, you know, tomorrow it's the usual comedy Cold Cuts. A wine expert joining us, Carla Snow, and Shelley Walcott, who is a spice maker, a blender,
yeah.
I guess.
I'll be anxious to talk
yeah,
to her. That's
me,
interesting.
Me as well. It's almost time for the mayor to join us.
It is.
So let's take a break. And, of course, Food for Thought is brought to you by Express Jewelry Center on South Main in Concord and Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill, also on 2nd Street in Manchester, puertovallartagrill.com. This is the Pulse 107.7 WTPL and Food for Thought. Back having lunch with the mayor and our mystery meal provider next on the Pulse.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. I'm so mixed up with my days because we weren't here Monday. Today's Thursday, right? Yes, it's Thursday because it's Mayor Gasses.
You just got a promotion, Mayor.
I thought she was taking me back in time when I was.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That is what I was doing. So we are in studio with Mayor Gatzis, and we're going to have lunch with the mayor. And did you have some breaking news you wanted to break?
Well, not really, but we were just discussing amongst ourselves a couple of moments ago that there's always new restaurants coming into the city, some that don't succeed, and then those spaces are sometimes taken over by newer places. And the old Jillian's, which became what the... The World Grill, something like that.
Right. World American Grill.
Right, on Granite and Commercial, right off Exit 5, is going to be, as we understand it, a high-end steakhouse.
It is.
Another new restaurant in Manchester.
Well, we need.
That's a great thing.
Well, and we understand it's a Dean Kamen production,
yes.
Right? I mean, so here's a man that has invented just about everything that we've ever heard of, and now he's going to get in the restaurant business.
That's crazy.
Well, I know he owns the building. I'm not too sure he's going to be flipping burgers in the kitchen. But
still, that's a, you know, yikes. So
that's a great location, and I'm sure that Dean is going to make sure the inside looks really nice.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's going to find the best help he can find, because that's usually what he does whenever he does something.
He doesn't do anything halfway, does he?
No, he does not. Does a great job.
Yeah. A great asset to the city.
Certainly to the city, he's been wonderful. To the first Junior STEAM Ahead program that we have instituted in the schools and fourth graders in Manchester, and getting them to visit the Sea Science Center at no cost, and he's sponsored that, and he's going to make sure that every fourth grader in the city of Manchester in 2 years is going to be able to participate, which is a great thing.
Well, he is certainly an innovator in this world, and to have him right in the mill yard here is terrific. So we are now being served some lunch here. Is this the appetizers?
Deviled eggs. It's Casey's Rib Shack.
Casey's Rib Shack is in the house. That's right. Look at that cornbread, huh?
Look at Samantha's putting the cornbread away from Mayor Gansett.
Kevin Cornish is in the room here right now.
So, good afternoon.
Hello.
The surprise luncheon is Kevin Cornish of Casey's Rib Shack.
Now, Kevin's not on a microphone, but
he can come right here.
Loudest voice of anybody I know. He doesn't need a microphone.
Look at those.
Whoa.
So we got some barbecue.
I'm glad, Carol, that you and Mike will be carrying on the conversation for the next few
minutes. Yeah, that's okay.
Because there's...
look at this. Some dirty rice. Isn't that what that is?
Yep. So we've got some dirty rice, some baked beans. Some ribs and chicken.
Why don't you go ahead over to the blue microphone, if you don't mind, Kevin. Kevin Cornish, of course, of Casey's Rib Shack over on 2nd Street, a fixture on the west side. Is he tearing the place apart here?
No, I do everywhere I go.
Yeah, so pull yourself up, get nice and close, or at least lift it up a little bit. Well, how are you, Kevin? Good to see you.
I'm doing very well. Very well, thanks. Good to be here.
How long's Casey's been? At least 10, 12 years, right?
17 years.
17 years.
Seven.
Well, we've been in Manchester 16 years, a little over 15. And the end of this year will be 15 years, and this past April Fool's was our 17th anniversary.
April Fool's, beautiful.
Because we were in... Litchfield for 2 years prior to opening.
Oh, okay, on the Bancroft Highway there.
Yeah.
So I learned something from you probably 10 or 12 years ago. I was doing a feature report for the Nashua Telegraph. In the last couple of years, I bought a Big Green Eggs, which is, I mean, nothing like what you do, but
they're awesome.
They are awesome.
Yeah.
The thing I learned from you is that you guys pull the membrane off the back of the ribs, so that, you know, all the flavor can get in on both sides.
Yep, yep.
And it was kind of a trick learning how to do that.
Sure, yeah.
Because, you know, it's not that easy, but because some are easier than others. But I learned that from you, and I do five-hour ribs. I know yours are 4 to 5 hours at very low temperature. And I'll tell you what, nothing beats it, man. If I can't get to Casey's, I can do my Big Green Egg.
Well, that's the thing. The paper towels are the trick to that.
That's right. That's exactly
get a spoon and pull that old membrane off.
God bless YouTube. I went, I said, how the heck do you do this? Oh, hold a paper towel on the edge and then just pull it down.
Yep. It allows you know, allows smoke to get up inside there, and spices and things to get drawn into the meat. I've always called it a flavor condom on the bottom of the.
Of course you have.
Oh my God.
That's right.
It's just a and what happens is once you get even if you get the ribs nice and tender and you go to bite on it, it kind of that skin is always there, which kind of pulls. So
the great thing about Kevin is that he is completely non-apologetic about the fact that perhaps not every nutritionist would approve of what you serve there. But you know what? You say, who cares? Somebody's got to do it. And by far the best barbecue in the state. Would you not agree, Mayor? Oh, Mayor's got his mouth full.
He can't eat. He can't talk.
I'm sorry, Mayor. I didn't mean to throw it.
There are some barbecue sauces here. I brought some.
Right here.
Right in front of me. There's some regular and spicy and apple. And our vinegar-based Carolina Red. Mm-hmm. And then I also brought over some of our bacon sriracha deviled eggs.
Those are
thanks,
so
Mike.
Good.
You just got me in trouble with my wife. She listens to this show. And
yeah, sorry, Cassandra.
Her that I'm munching on ribs. And
yep. We didn't tell her that. You just did.
No, I didn't.
We would have covered for you and said you had a salad.
Leave that to Carol. I come in here. She eats the salad and she brings me lunch.
Yeah. Can you even get a salad at Casey's?
Yes. Oh, we have huge salads. Yeah, we have great salads. And we don't have a problem with vegetarians as long as they're cooked right.
Yeah. Bada boom, he'll be here all week.
You know, you are talking about Casey's and not having, like you said, nutritional stuff. But we went there last week to eat. And
this tastes pretty nutritional to me.
But you really can watch what you're eating because I had the chicken for the first time. I'd never had the chicken because usually like the brisket or the ribs. Mm-hmm. But I stayed away from it and I got the chicken with some dirty rice and a little bit of coleslaw I had. And, you know, I mean, that's
sure,
not bad.
Yeah.
So you can definitely make good choices.
Yeah, the chicken, I almost every day for lunch, I have one of our salads with the pulled chicken on top of it.
Oh, it was so good.
Just a bunch of lemon juice and, you know, that's it. So it's one of my favorite things to eat.
Mike,
the apple
you are
is very, very good.
Yeah, the apple's a big hit, especially on the ribs and stuff.
Very good. Hmm. That makes it healthy because it's apple.
Oh. Get your fruits in.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So are these St. Louis ribs?
No, St. Louis ribs is actually they could be St. Louis ribs.
Right.
St. Louis ribs is a trim. It's a it's actually on a St. Louis rib. This back portion of the rib here is cut off, so it makes our ribs. When you look at a rack, it's kind of a. It's a weird shape. Some ribs are a lot bigger than other ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Louis ribs, they cut that whole back off so that it makes for a uniform rack. So it's what St. Louis ribs is what most places serve.
Sure.
We're one of the few places that sell what are called untrimmed spare ribs. You know?
Okay. Well, you, of course, are our New Hampshire boy. But you and your partner actually went down south, as I recall, to visit some of the best barbecue places to find what the natives were eating, and then you adapted it to what you do at KC's.
Yeah, we've done some exploring around. One of our most fun trips was down to North Carolina. We went down and spent 2 days, and we ate at 24 different barbecue restaurants.
Oh,
two days. Like a half day when we got there, and then we knew we were in trouble the first place we got to, and we had been flying and traveling all day, and we got to the place, and we were hungry, and we were excited because we were in North Carolina. We're the barbecue capital of the world, you know, and we get in, and we order a little bit of everything on the menu, and we walked up to the guy on the way out, and we said, hey, we're kind of down here from New Hampshire on a barbecue pilgrimage, and we would we're just down here for 2 days, and all we're doing is eating at different barbecue joints, and can you maybe send us on our way to, you know, our next location? And he goes, son, you done just had the best barbecue you're ever going to have. So for the next 2 days, we just we rented a car. We didn't have any place in mind. We just drove around and looked for a place that was – selling barbecue and bait, and you could get tires
barbecue
changed.
Barbecue and bait?
Not in North Carolina. That's how you want to do it, you know. And, so we would go in, and we would just get like a – down there, barbecue joints are just pulled pork. You know what I mean? There's no ribs or chicken or anything like that.
Really?
You just go in and it's basically just pulled pork because they cook whole hogs, and that's it. So it was kind of funny. We had gone to what was called Lexington Number 1, which is one of the primary primary places down there. And we went in, and they brought us out back, and were showing us the pits. And one of the guys goes, "Ricky, shut those pits right now." And he said, "Oh, I'm showing these guys the inside of the pit." He goes, "Do you read the back of this guy's shirt?" And on the back of our shirts, we didn't really realize it, but it says, "We don't care how you do it down south." You know?
Oh,
so, he was like, "If you don't care, we ain't going to show you." Yeah. It was pretty funny. But that was an entertaining trip. So we hope to do another one this year, maybe get out to Kansas City for the you know,
the big
for a weekend.
Competition and everything.
Yeah. So,
are you doing Rib Shack this year in Nashua?
The Rib Fest.
Rib Fest.
No, we don't. We don't do the Rib Fest anymore. Yeah. That's kind of a that weekend is always like a perfect storm for us. It's always our biggest weekend of the whole year because of the fact that it's
bike week and
it's bike week.
Yeah.
It's Father's Day. It's Rib Fest, and so many people go down to, nothing against Rib Fest, you know, but they go down there, and you know, after standing in line for a while, they say, "Oh, let's, you know, let's go get some, you know, let's go to KC's." So we all, you know, it turns out that weekend we basically have a line, you know,
sure,
from the time we open.
It's really interesting that I haven't observed too much competition for you in the area, which probably speaks highly of the fact that you got a lock on it because you do it right. I mean, some people come and you know, they're here for a little while, but it's got to make you feel good that it's not a monopoly, but it's pretty close to that.
Sure. Well, yeah, there have been many. I've said many times I gotta screw up bad to drop the ball at this point.
I can't even really think of any other ones.
Yeah, there was a place
around
on South Willow for a little while, which
famous
is now
days.
A Japanese, and that was a chain, I think, right?
Yeah, that was Famous Days.
Oh,
and they
right.
And they were one of those places,
that didn't even
you know,
compare, though.
And I've never paid any attention to what anybody else is doing. You know, I don't, when Famous Days came, and a lot of people used to ask me, "Geez, is it, you know, did you feel an impact?" Or, and I didn't ever felt an impact, and I never really paid any attention. You know?
Well, I can understand why, because
I know
all have been talking, and
even...
I've been eating in coleslaw. I've been eating the coleslaw.
Yeah.
I think if I would have driven by and seen the parking lot just overflowing with cars, it probably would have bothered
me.
Would have
crushed you, yeah. Well, Mayor Gatz is, you know, I've seen you. You and I have been to a lot of events together, and you're out many days a week, you know, speaking and community events. And usually the meal consists of, you know, stuffed chicken breast.
That's why I stayed away from the chicken.
Yeah, I noticed that. Don't
but
you,
I'm sure it's great.
Don't you wish that every event that you go to could be a feast like
well,
you get at Casey's?
Mike, I would say to you that, you know, if it was this good, the events that I go to, it probably would say that I'd be 100 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
Right now, I can't afford that. Yeah. So this is excellent.
Yeah. Welcome to my world.
You don't want to go on my diet.
Yeah, no.
But the food is excellent. It's
I just saw your diet.
No, he's been very good, really.
Yeah.
A little bit of rice and one rib, which is mostly protein.
It is.
That's right.
And just a little tiny piece of cornbread. So
we only have another 15 minutes, and once we're off the air, I guess I can eat what I want to eat.
And believe it or not, a lot of our barbecue really isn't, you know, inherently some of the meats we serve can be unhealthy because they have a lot of fats. But because we cook things so long, it breaks those fats down. Like when we start with a brisket, we cook 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our smokers never stop. All night long, we cook briskets and pulled pork, and all day long we cook sausage, ribs, and chicken. And the brisket, as well as the pulled pork, we have about a 50% waste in
really,
and it just not only waste, it just disappears. You know, when we start off, we put a 13-pound brisket in at, you know, 9 o'clock at night. When we pull it out at 11 o'clock the next day, it's about 6 pounds. So
it is
gone from, I don't know if you ever, you know, when you cook like a corned beef, you get this
it's true.
Good
mm-hmm.
sized corned
and
beef.
And then it comes
then,
out, yep.
You know, and you end up with just like, geez, what is everybody else going to eat? Because there's this little chunk of meat there, you know. And, so,
yeah.
And that the same thing happens with pulled pork. one of the pork butts we cook is about 8 pounds, and when we're done, it's about 4 pounds. So what happens is with that slow cooking process, not only is it breaking down the connecting tissues in the meat and making it tender, but it's also rendering off all the fat that is in there. So unlike some quicker cooking methods that leave a lot of fat, that fat in there, when you cook something for 14 or 16 hours, a lot of that fat renders out. So it makes it for a lot leaner of a piece of meat.
What do you cook the ribs at?
We cook almost everything at 250 during the day, 250 degrees, and then the brisket and pulled pork, which we cook at night, we cook at about 220 degrees.
Okay.
So I found that
brisket's excellent.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, is there brisket in there?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
save some for me, Mayor.
There's plenty.
Thrown under the bus.
I'm sorry.
Mrs. Gatz says he's doing fine.
He is.
I'm really watching him.
Yeah. All right.
So, Kevin, let's go back 17 years ago. And what made you go into the restaurant business? I mean, what made you, or was it, I mean, you knew specifically you wanted to do barbecue.
Well, I didn't know. It wasn't really specifically I wanted to do barbecue. I owned a printing company. The printing industry was changing. The oncoming of the digital age was here, and a lot of the upscale printing companies that I was competing against were, you know, moving on to just doing color copies and things like that. And so and primarily what I used to do was a lot of layout and computer work and things, and more people were bringing in their own work or printing it on home or at the office. So I saw that the industry was changing. I sold my share of my printing company to my partner and was looking for something to do. So barbecue was a hobby of mine. It was my passion at the time, and somebody had always told me, you know, if you never want to work another day, to take what is your passion and make that your job. And so just so happened my partner owned an auto parts store, and the same thing was happening with him. You know, the big box auto parts stores were coming in, the Pep Boys and the Auto Palaces and things like that. And he had a Napa store and kind of got pushed out. So we both found ourselves out of work,
you know,
wondering what we were going to do. And I kept pushing, let's open a little barbecue joint. There's no real, you know, cool little barbecue joints around. But neither of us had ever worked a day in a restaurant. I mean, we literally I had $2,000 and he had $2,000. So we took the, we found this little place in Litchfield that had been out of business for a couple of years. It was a Chinese restaurant. It had this like small smoker in there they used to cook the ribs with. We had $4,000 between the two of us. We went and we took $1,000. We put it down. I think it was first and last month rent, so that was $2,000. And then we went out and bought food and equipment with the other $1,000 we had, and we opened up. You know, without having literally one day of experience in the restaurant business.
Well, good for you. So. I mean, 17 years later, that is
man, that is such something. A how not to get into business story.
Oh yeah,
it is.
No,
Mayor, you've been in a private sector before. That,
yes.
Would you have ever thought that would be a recipe for success?
You know, if you go in and try the ribs, and they're as good as they are today, 17 years ago, guess what? They were going to be successful from the first day.
But on paper, that just doesn't seem like the way it typically would go.
No,
in business.
I don't think that the Harvard Business School would give you a recommendation.
They tell you to have enough money to survive for like a year without taking any money out of the business. Well, we had to, when the day came to open up, we were out of money. We didn't have any money to buy any food, and I didn't have any money to pay my rent.
That's a problem.
I had like moved into my sister's house because I couldn't pay my rent because I took the $2,000 I had and invested it in the business. And we had to borrow $500 from somebody to buy food for day one. And then we took food from day one, our sales from day one, and went and bought food for day two. And
that's amazing. That is amazing. And 17 years later.
Hopefully I'll make some money today to pay for tomorrow.
That's
fair. And the cash register was what was left out of your pocket.
that is amazing. We should take a quick break. Kevin Cornish, owner of Casey's Rib Shack over on 2nd Street, the West Side. And Mayor of Manchester, New Hampshire, is Mayor Gatzis. Ted Gatzis joining us as well. And we'll chat with the mayor briefly. He's having some more coleslaw. You're getting your roughage today, Mayor. I'm impressed. The fiber count is going to be good.
Well, I don't see any of your chocolate chip cookies.
No, you don't. It's because I respect you, Mayor. So, Carol, why don't we head into a break here?
Yes, we're going to head into a break. And, Kevin, thank you so much for bringing the mayor lunch today.
Rob, thanks for having
wonderful.
Me. I really enjoyed it.
And he loved it. I wasn't quite sure about barbecue, but.
Kevin, thank you. It's excellent. It's really, really good.
And I didn't know the backstory of Casey's Rib Shack. It makes it that much more sweet, I guess, as you look back.
Yeah, it's a fun story, actually.
Yeah. Thank you very much. We'll see you again soon, I hope, like maybe next Tuesday.
All right, stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You are listening to 107.7 FM, WTPLFM.com. And we are having lunch with Mayor Gatsis, and Kevin just left, and Kevin from Casey's Rib Shack. You can check them out on the web also at ribshack.net, and they're over on 2nd Street, and it really is the best barbecue around. And like I said, there's hardly any around. So
yeah, I think that's a testimony to the fact that he does it so well that you just couldn't really get another foothold for another. I mean, there's always room for more than one in any genre of food, but terrific. So
it's great. It's wonderful. Food's very, very good.
So I'm going to guess that Jack Heath doesn't feed you like this when you do his show.
I bring my own coffee.
Really? Wow.
Whoa.
Well, that's a good deal. We're just your 2-minute walk from City Hall, so we're glad that you come by to visit. The restaurant scene in Manchester continues to, it
bloom.
Seems, upgrade and has for many years. Elm Street is, you can get just about anything now on Elm Street.
Yeah, and the excitement, I don't have to tell you that when the warmer weather comes and Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, Elm Street is just
fine.
Packed with people, and that's a wonderful thing because it's not only people from Manchester, it's people that are coming in from other communities. It used to be, 7-8 years ago, you'd ask the question, any new restaurants in Portsmouth? Now
right.
People in
True.
Portsmouth are asking, are there any new restaurants in Manchester? And they're coming here. So certainly it's telling you that the quality is there. There's so many great places, a lot of people participating, and that's a good thing for the city.
I'm going to guess that you'll probably be around for a part of the Hippo de Mayo
Taco
Challenge, which is coming up May 7th.
It's always interesting to see the people that are out that all of a sudden like tacos when they're $2 or something. So.
Yeah.
It's an interesting day that when you watch the crowd, it's certainly really, really great to see that many people downtown moving around, stopping at different places to get something to eat.
I mean, 15,000 people, 15,000 to 17,000.
Right.
That is crazy.
I mean, they caught lightning in a bottle on that.
Yeah,
because,
they did.
Well, let's have a little taco tour and see if anybody shows up. Well, 5 years later. 15,000 people.
And, the variety that you get from all the different restaurants. When you have, the Asian restaurants, they're making Asian tacos, and Ben & Jerry's makes their dessert tacos, and, everybody just puts their own little twist on it. So.
Which is a great thing.
Yeah. So you get a variety. And
can we expect the Tuna Pea Wiggle taco, perhaps, out of the
kitchens
of Mayor Gatsis?
Tuna Pea Wiggle is, something, Mike, that everybody talks about, because you mentioned it a few times. So everybody asked me for that recipe.
Yeah.
What's the story with Tuna Pea Wiggle?
It's under wraps.
What is the story with this?
Tuna Pea Wiggle is something that was introduced to me probably 50 years ago or 60 years ago when I was in school. It's cream of mushroom soup with a can of baby peas with a can of tuna fish.
Careful,
easy.
Carol.
Easy. And then on toast. It's incredible.
Really?
Try it.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Kind of noodles? Macaroni noodles?
No noodles.
Oh, no noodles.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no. It's on
really?
Toast. Yeah. It's
so cream of mushroom soup,
peas, Lesser peas, the small baby peas, and a can of tuna fish.
All mixed together.
Heated
up on a toast.
Yes.
Whoa.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? Maybe the next time the mayor will serve the two of you.
I was thinking I was going to make it for you next time.
Samantha, did you get that?
Oh, my. I don't know.
Oh, it's a treat.
Yeah.
Now, what did you name it?
No, we used to have that at lunch at school, Tuna Pea Wiggle.
Yeah.
That, and we used to also have
Samantha's laughing.
We also, they used to make a great corned beef hash that we used to have at Smith Road School. The cooks used to cook right there in the kitchen.
It was
great. And then what was it? Welsh rabbit.
We just talked about that the other day.
At school you used to have?
At school, hot lunches every single day.
Wow.
35 cents.
That's pretty good. Well, you know, I have a menu dated back to like 1930s on the wall at the diner, and Welsh rabbit is on it. And I think it's like 20 cents or something, 22 cents.
Interesting thing, yesterday, sometime in the afternoon, I had one of my high school teachers come in and visit Mr. Dennehy, and he said, Mayor, I got a book for you. I said, really? What do you have? He says, I've got your old yearbook. Here you go. I don't know if you need another one, but I'm leaving it for you. The person I thought about in the class of 68 that I could drop it off to. So we were chatting for a while through the book, and boy, I tell you, it brings back memories.
Yeah, now Mr. Dennehy from
English
Central,
teacher.
Right?
Yes.
I remember him.
Yeah.
Wow, because I graduated
he looks
from Central.
Great.
So you're class of 68?
Class of 68.
Just 1 year ahead of me.
There you go.
Hey, you were very athletic and you
played
a lot of sports, right?
We did. I played on 3 state championships my junior year in the same year. There were 4 of us that did that, and we certainly had a lot of fun doing it.
Great memories, huh? And then
you get
the yearbook again, huh?
You want to know how old I was?
Oh, see, she's going to drop this on us now,
Ted. Yeah, I am. I was 4.
When he graduated or when I graduated?
Both of you, yeah.
Well, you probably went to Gill Stadium at the time and probably saw the bleachers that were all the way probably 40 rows up and from one end zone to the other. Because we used to draw probably 10,000 to 12,000 people Thanksgiving Day for that rivalry between Haverhill.
Fun.
It's amazing. Hey, before we let you go, just a quick, you know, what's going on in the city. The Uber thing really has people talking. I read your statement on Facebook, and it seemed like you were reaching out to tie all the parties together. I get this feeling that you would like to see it happen because it has its place now, but there's a few requirements that you'd like to have in place.
Mike, there's no question that, you know, it's certainly something that's out there, that it's happening everywhere, and I think we just need to find a way to, how are we going to make sure that the people in Manchester are safe? And I think that bringing the police chief in, letting him take a look at whatever documentation that they have, I don't think we need to do it on an audit basis. I think it should be available so that we can look at it, say, yes, this works, this makes sense, we'd like to see this change, come into the city and do business, but let's find a way, as we should when we have new products, that everybody sits at the table and finds a way to get it done.
And that's part of your job, to be the broker.
Well, we're trying to, you know, leadership is all about bringing people to the table and getting things done. So, you know, I saw where we were going. It was not a place I wanted to be. And I think that sending the letter to the chief and the city clerk is going to get people in the first part of next week to sit at a table and see if we can't iron this out.
It's a $41 billion business, you know, around the country. So it is here to stay, whether you like it or not. It seems the majority of people are in favor of it, from what I'm reading, if you can count Facebook and other social media.
But we can't cast aside, Mike, the folks that, one, don't have a smartphone.
Yeah.
That don't have a credit card. That
True.
Take cabs to get to work, mm-hmm. to do the grocery shopping, to get around this city. And certainly we've got to make sure that we avail them of the same ability to do what they've been doing, and make sure that we can allow both to exist in this great city.
I don't know what a medallion cost in Manchester. I know there's, I think, 18 cabs, but in places like Boston, New York, it could be $800,000 to $900,000 for a medallion, which is, to get the right to operate a cab.
You know, everybody thinks it's about a revenue source to the city. We pick up about $10,000 on licensing on the taxi industry.
Mm-hmm.
Uber, you know, this is not about the revenue source to the city, because we just want to make sure that citizens are safe. I mean, you hear all, you know, and again, there's probably one bad story for every good 100 that you hear. And, you know, a story I heard just yesterday was that an Uber driver was taking somebody to the airport, dropped he and his wife off. They were going to Florida for a month, and lo and behold, their house got broken.
Sure. Well, we could talk about this for much longer, but the segment is up. Just wanted to get that in because everybody's talking about it. Hopefully, it can be resolved in time for the convention, the primary next year. I am confident it will
Hopefully, we can get it ironed out in the next week.
That's right. May 5th, I think, is the next hearing.
I'm putting it on the agenda May 5th, And hopefully we have something worked out by then.
All right, Mayor Ted Gatzis, we'll get you a doggy bag if you want to take anything home for Cassandra.
Wow, absolutely. Well, I need to show her what I've been eating so she doesn't yell.
Yeah, when she sees there's a lot of food left, she'll know.
That's right.
And I'll tell her that Mike only had his little bit.
That's right.
Mayor, we'll see. You're going to come in next week as well.
I'll be here next week.
All right.
Thanks for having me. You know what? You've shocked me with every time you've brought a
lunch. Good. I'm glad. Awesome.
All right.
You're listening to Food for Thought. We'll be up the next hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.